Hello, welcome to the Cosmic Eye Show. It's Emmett Fox Friday. Thank you for joining us. I am Jason Napolitano, and on the line, Mr. Chris Sheridan. What's going on, Chris? You're still,
Already, yeah, it's already Friday already.
it's already Friday, isn't it?
Seems like it was
Again.
just last Friday that
I'm telling
you
you,
said that, but it seemed like a week ago.
time is flying, and yet it's slow at the same time. It's a very weird sense of time right now for me, and maybe for other people out there too. I don't know. It's like this year has went by somewhat quickly, but at the same time, it's been, kind of ridiculous and weird, obviously, and kind of slow, but yet fast. I don't know. I don't know what I'm getting at. Just an odd sense of time, I guess, this year. So
Definitely odd. Well, it's an odd
it's an
sense of
odd.
everything.
It's an odd sense of everything, indeed. And this is an odd title for our show, or for the topic today, which I like. It falls into our oddness category. This one is called "Doghouse for Sale." Emmett Fox always had great titles for all of his stuff. They just kind of grab you. You're like, what the hell does this mean? And of course, we'll find out. But of course, we're working on finding use your inner power from Mr. Emmett Fox. And we're doing so every Friday, and we thank you again for joining us. We have our show on Sunday as well. My book is If You Can Worry, You Can Meditate. Chris's is The Spirit in the Sky. You can find out more about us at cosmiceye.org. And if you'd like to make a donation, anchor.fm/cosmiceye. All right, so let's jump right into Dog House for Sale. And actually, we did not even read through this, so we're going fresh on this one. So I'll
Love it.
start, and then you can, and then we'll just go back and forth. How about that?
Sounds good.
At the paragraph, sorry.
Well,
The second best prayer ever written in the Scotsman's is the Scotsman's Prayer. Lord, give us good conceit of ourselves. I would have tried to do a Scottish accent, but okay. You cannot have too much respect for yourself. You cannot have too much confidence in yourself. You cannot claim too much for yourself. But remember that you must realize these things as being the expression of God in you and not independent qualities of your own. You must also accept them as being true for every other human being.
nothing but failure can come of self-depreciation. Thinking of yourself as a worm and the son of a worm is the quickest way to demonstrate a wormy existence. Crawling about mentally can only be the prelude to crawling about spiritually, morally, and even physically. Affirm your divine selfhood. Look the world in the face and fear nothing.
Of course, it is true that stupid people can get the malady called swelled head, and this always ends in a fall. But the realization of one's divine selfhood never gives swelled head. It gives wisdom, balance, poise, and steady progress.
Claim your divine, glorious selfhood. Think it, talk it, live it, and it will demonstrate itself in your life. Come out of the mental doghouse and move into the palace not made with hands, the palace of mental poise, divine wisdom, and true satisfying success.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Amen. I love that worm and son of a worm. Chris, you son of a worm.
Yeah.
That's a bad name to call somebody a son of a worm. I like that. That reminds me, of course, of Reverend Ike, and we talked a little bit about that before we got onto the show, but he had a lot of great discussions about the worm. And he said, the biggest thing you got to remember about being a worm is that a worm gets stepped on. So don't be a worm. Don't be a worm. And I think there's a lot of great lessons in this. So we'll go through some of these ideas. That worm one stuck out to me first at the beginning. What's some of the stuff that sticks out in this for you?
Well, actually, let's finish with this worm thing. There's a
Okay.
since he put it in quotes,
Mm-hmm.
he's actually quoting, and I pulled it up. It's Psalm 22:6.
Okay.
But I am a worm and not a man.
Oh, interesting. Okay. What
Yeah.
about is the son of a worm in there as well, or is that something else? I wonder if that's another translation, maybe, or something.
Yeah, it could be. I don't get the
I don't get that line there.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's it's probably pulled. What happens a lot from maybe several, there maybe one said, oh, I'm a worm, and someone else said, well, I'm son of a worm, and then they get
bridged
together. Yeah, they might be cobbled.
That makes sense. Yeah, exactly.
But either way, I think it's kind of a misappropriated or a misused part of saying, oh, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, meaning that I'm in the presence of something greater.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's it's a short trip to saying, well, I'm not worth much.
Yeah.
Or I'm not, you know what I mean? It's like,
I do, yeah.
It kind of depends on where you place that power. If you are the divine son or daughter of you know, the all that is, you can't be a worm and you can't be, you know, this lowly thing. If you act like that and treat yourself that way, well, then you're really denying, you know, the truth behind your spiritual existence. So, you know, we'll get into that as we go on. But yeah, I was just curious about, since Reverend Ike talked about it and it's in here and he's a preacher, that there's
a connection there for sure.
But we're not worms. You know what I mean? It's like even worms in the animal kingdom, of course, all the animals need each other, you know, it's an interdependence. You know, the worm feeds the bird, which, you know, fertilizes the tree and makes, you know, it's the whole system.
Well, the lowliest among us is actually, you know, as an example, speaking of the earthworm, I mean, we could not survive without the earthworm in terms of the services that it provides to the soil. Like, we are less integral to the health of the planet by far, obviously. In fact, at this point, we're actually detrimental to the health of the planet, which is not to put us down as humans, because we're, you know, we have our place like everything else does. But you know what I mean? The lowliest thing, so we would think, the earthworm is actually, we're actually quite dependent on the services that they provide. So it's something to think about. You know, then that's the thing where this balance is, you know, I think that idea of like, oh, I'm lowly and I'm not worthy and so on is like you said, I mean, it's meant to be respectful of and awe, you know, you're in awe of the divine. And I think that's a good motivation. When people take it too far is when they, you know, they self-depreciate, right? And there's a difference between, you know, recognizing the awe of the divine and the unknowable quality of the divine mystery, and recognizing that you're just a very small, you know, kind of part of that thing, and your sort of human importance is pretty, you know, pretty small in the whole scheme of things. But, you know, there's a difference between that and I'm just worthless piece of human garbage. You know what I'm saying? And you're right. Yeah. There's a very sort of thin line between the two of those. And I think a lot of really, you know, ultra religious individuals may find themselves in that, you know, in that camp where they go too far with that, you know, I'm not worthy thing. And they, you know, think they don't deserve anything, you know, at all in their lives. And, you know, and that those are the kind of people we're speaking to Reverend Ike, and he said, you know, religion will do you in and do you out of your miracles, you know, because you believe in these ideas that are false. You believe in these ideas that are detrimental to your own well-being. And God didn't intend for us to be, you know, lowly and, you know, crawling around and so on. Obviously there's a certain special mission for human beings and so on. We don't know exactly what that is at times. But you know, if we look within, we can find it. But the point is that, you know, there's a fine line between those two things. And in this case, he's even making that, you know, he's saying that nothing but failure can come with self-depreciation. But then at the same time, he's saying, you know, people can get swelled heads. And this always ends in a fall, right? Pride goeth before the fall, right? So, you know, but that's that extreme pride. Not pride that, you know, like I have pride in my school and pride in my work. This is like that extreme pride where only, you know, I'm the best and this is the best, or, you know, we're the best and everyone else is shit. You know what I mean? It's that kind of thing where it becomes very arrogant and hostile towards the other. You right?
Yeah. Well, because you're denying it in the other person.
Exactly.
He said, you know, claim these things, claim the best in the universe, because you're part of the best in the universe, but claim them for yourself, not independent or, you know, that's singularly yours, because everyone else has those as well. So you're recognizing in everyone, but you're also recognizing it in yourself. And I think, you know, this, since he points out both sides, that, you know, the wrong kind of pride or conceit or, you know, self-confidence or something, you know, is wrong. And also the wrong part of humility. Oh, yeah. Well, I'm just a lowly worm. Well, I'm just, well, who am I? I'm just a man. You know, both are kind, it's good to have confidence and it's good to have humility, but he's outlining these extremes, and it can be a fine line, because once you jump off the cliff, you know, if it kind of gains momentum, then you're constantly propping yourself up with prideful, boastful things, just so people don't find out the lie that you're not all that. And yeah. Then on the other side, I think a lot of times people, you know, it's very easy to be overwhelmed by the world. And if you then come across the spiritual notion that, you know, we are all God's children and we are part of the divine plan, we have a divine heritage. It's our being, we're our DNA, we're part of this, you know, godly divine nature. That can be overwhelmed because, oh gosh, well, I'm just a person, and, you know, oh, I'm supposed to be a saint now, or I'm supposed to do miracles, or I'm supposed to, and how can I do this? And you can't do either one on your own. You can't do miracles and live up to your divine nature if you're thinking, oh, I'm just me, I'm just this little independent, not really worth too much kind of worm. Mm-hmm. And nor can you really access divine power if you're looking at your own human ego as being, I'm confident, and look what I have, and I have self-respect, yeah, and I have dignity, yeah, and it's I. That's not going to help either. You know, they're both missing the mark. You can have humility and you can have strength and self-confidence in a really, really big way, as long as that's aligned with the divine spirit and it's not aligned with this separated, just individual, and I mean individual in the, not in the individuation sense, but a separated, you know, separated,
isolated
from the whole.
Like an isolated.
Yeah. No, because you're not, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's a great point. And I think, you know, the real sort of trick, in a sense, to this is that, you know, you claim your divinity, but you also claim the divinity of the other as well. You know, affirm your divine selfhood, but then affirm the divine selfhood of all the others. And, you know, the animals, the birds, the trees, the planet itself, you know, all of existence is part of that divine selfhood with a capital S. You know, we begin to think like that, we see how it's all interrelated. We see the interrelated nature of everything, and everything on this planet needs everything else. Even though sometimes we think, oh, you know, we can do without this, or we'll just wipe this species out with pesticides, and yeah, you know, we don't know. That's the thing about it. And, you know, everything's such a delicate balance. We have to remember that, you know, it's all a part of the divine balance. It's all part of the divine order. And if you can start claiming that about yourself, then you can see that in your neighbors, you can see that in your family, and so on. Then that's not going to lead what he calls that swelled head. You're not going to find that malady, you know, of the swelled head. Because you're finding that confidence and that divine selfhood within, but then you're also seeing it around you as well. And so it's not something that you think, oh, I've laid my hands on this divine treasure and I'm the holder of this divine treasure and no one else has it. And look at me, aren't I special? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think, you know, sometimes there are some of these, you know, movements and so on, spiritual movements, where the leader will sometimes get that feeling that they're this divine, you know, sort of creature, and then everyone else is a lowly follower. And that's where you know, oftentimes those sort of things end up in tragedies, those movements, you know what I mean? So look at that and think about that in your own life. Like, how are we doing that on a smaller scale? You know, am I finding my divine selfhood, but am I also recognizing it in the other? And if I am trying, you know, if I am being humble, am I being too humble? You know what I mean? Am I self-depreciating to the point where I'm not using the talents that I was given? I'm not using my voice to be heard. I'm not using my skills in the way that I should. I'm not allowing myself to get the education I want, or to start the business or the spiritual movement or the nonprofit or whatever it is that I want to do. You know what I mean? Am I holding that divinity within myself back? Am I hiding my lamp under a bushel? That's another way to look at it, right?
Right, so, good point.
Right? So I think those are things to think about with this.
To say, I'm God's gift to the world. That can be true if you really express that in the right way and recognize it, so is everybody else. But what is your gift? What is it that you're giving to the world? And I like that about, you're not holding your light back. And I think it's this doghouse, because he's actually talking, pointing to it anyway, with the title of this passage, doghouse for sales, that you're really getting rid of this small self, the small self that brags. That's still the small self.
Yeah, exactly.
That thinks you're all that and everything. It's just a fear-based thing because you're afraid of somebody else being better than you, so you have to boast and do all that. But on the flip side, what he's talking about, this doghouse, and the term doghouse is generally used meaning like you're in trouble or you did something wrong or you screwed up, and your wife makes you sleep in the doghouse instead of, in the bedroom. So and I know that's a common origin, but being in the doghouse, but he's saying, he's pointing to the idea that we put ourselves there.
Yeah.
That we think of ourselves as being, well, we don't belong in the main house, or we don't, we're not even human. Here's a worm. Here's a dog. I mean, as much as, important as worms are, and then dogs are certainly friendly creatures, but they're not human beings. On the scale of things.
No, they all have their own divine purpose, but we also have ours, right?
So, we do, and if we consider ourselves to be, or we might use, I'm just a worm, I'm just in the doghouse, or what can I do? Just one person, and I haven't really demonstrated much of a success in my life, so how can I help others? You're really backing out of your responsibility. It's actually kind of an excuse. Because if you are part of this divine plan and have this divine nature in you, then you're destined to do more. And that can be scary, or it can feel overwhelming, or confusing, or maybe feel safe in the doghouse. But this is getting out of that. And I like how he says, come out of the mental doghouse and move into the palace not made with hands.
Yeah.
So he, really is under, obviously it's a metaphor anyway. But even within the metaphor, it's not a house. It's not a human house. It's even better than that. It's a palace of mental poise, divine wisdom, and true satisfying success. Because I know people who have become successful in sort of one aspect, but they never really became truly successful until they were really able to share that success, or share how they, a lot of times because they lost it and then they were kind of able to get it back. But then they got this perspective on it, and it was that true satisfying success. The unsatisfying success is when you're chasing money and you have a house and you buy two more. And then when you get a yacht, but you have to get a bigger yacht because that one's too small. That's the unsat. That's a lot of success, but it's got to be unsatisfying, or you wouldn't still be chasing it with more materialism or consumerism or things like that. So it is a spiritual success, but it also means success in every other way.
And
live on earth with other earthlings. And if part of being success, divine satisfying success, is to help out others, then that's going to be part of your plan.
Absolutely. And, I think you made a good point about that. I want to go back to that house without, the house, palace not made with hands. So I was trying to think where that came from, and I looked it up. It's from 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So it's really about, building something spiritual, building something eternal within yourself and within, the mystical and, heavenly world. Through these, these divine actions that you're taking, through this claiming of the divine glorious selfhood, as he says, you're creating something of permanence and eternal value. And I think it's like, yes, we live on this on this earth, and we've got our physical needs, and we want to, you know, be successful as we can in terms of our, you know, material existence and stuff within bounds, and obviously without harming others, and in balance with everything. But then at the same time, you know, and this whole thing is about balance for me when I see this, you know, at the same time, we're building this palace not made with hands, you know, which means we're creating something eternal in the heavens, eternal within ourselves. You know, you might look at it in alchemy as like the philosopher's stone or something like that. You know what I mean?
I do. You're well, Freemasonry uses architecture and building construction as a metaphor for building your body, building your life, building your family, building your community, that it has a foundation, it has a cornerstone. It, you know, it's a great metaphorical system of symbols, you know, or the three little pigs, you know, there's, it's an internal house, your internal structure.
Exactly.
That's not going to be blown down by a big bad wolf or the next rain that falls or, you know, something else that, you know, a mental thing gets in the way, or our own selves, you know, kind of protected against our own failings or, you know, propensity for that, as if we really get square with who we are. And if we are part of this divine nature, then we have this divine help. And if we have great qualities, it's because we're shining a light that's maybe not ours, but it's ours to use and it's ours to shine, so that others can see the way, as others have done, you know, with us. You know, think of shining examples of people in the public eye, or maybe just somebody you know, or somebody in your family who has that. Wow, look at them. They're a genius, or they're, wow, this really wonderful person, or the Dalai Lama, you know, he's so peaceful and loving and all this stuff. And I think he would probably also agree, the Dalai Lama himself, that he's, it's not him. It's not, you know, his holiness, you know, this individual being, it's the Dalai Lama as being part of the great being, and his expression of that. He's reflecting and projecting and radiating.
Sure.
This that came from the divine source.
Buddha nature, maybe they'd call it, or something like that, right?
Yes, sure.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a great point. Thank you. So come out of the mental doghouse and move into the palace not made with hands. That's the key to this, isn't it? You have anything else to finish up with? I think we're about at the end of this one.
Went fast. Just like this week. I guess this, like this Fox Friday half hour went by swiftly as well.
I'm telling you.
And when we say selfhood, divine selfhood, because you know, you're listening to audio, it is capitalized in this text all the time. This self with a capital S, or the larger self, not the self you think when you're thinking, oh, selfish. That's the small S. I know it's kind of confusing, or it's kind of, you know,
it's a good point,
but you have to distinguish either in the text, or you have to say, you know, capital S self, or the divine self, because
they have a different meaning, don't they?
Absolutely.
That's a good point. And I think, again, you know, he's striking the balance, I think, between the self with the small S and the self with the big S. And, you know, we find ourselves in the unique position of, you know, being sort of poised between heaven and earth as a human being, you know, with the consciousness that we have. So,
and we can ask ourselves, you know, I guess this will be the final word for me, but, you know, is this divine? Is this a reflection or an expression of a divine selfhood? Am I utilizing and using my divine? That can be the litmus, or the question you can ask yourself. Oh no, that was just me being fearful and having an ego saying, oh, I'm better than you. I can play guitar player faster than you. Or, you know, I can beat you up, or, you know, some kind of a thing like that. It's like, no, that's petty. That's not the divine selfhood. You know, and then the more you ask yourself that, the more in tune you get with that. And then that can be the, you know, you can recognize that source. Or when you, like I said, when you see it in another person, this person is like Elon Musk. He's somebody I like. And he's, you know, kind of a genius. And he's done things that, you know, private space company, electric car, changed the whole paradigm with that. Things a lot of people in history even said that you can't do, he made sure he was able to do. you know, it, as much as I can admire the person or Steve Jobs or anybody like that who's been an inspiration, or the Dalai Lama as well, I'll throw him in there, to say, wow, that person's amazing. What is it like to be? It's like, oh, wait a minute. They're a divine child. They have divine selfhood. I have divine selfhood. Okay, so I have that. I have some degree of that, or some, I have my version of that, or my expression of it. It may come out in a different way, but it's still the same source where we both, you know, or all of us, you know, kind of drink from the same well. So then you're not even seeing it in another person as being, oh, well, that person is just brilliant and that person's a moron. It's like, well, no, they all have that divine nature. And one seems to be utilizing it, you know, more so than another one.
More
and
effectively. Then, sure.
So you don't have to be this person or that person. Be you. But be you that is the divine selfhood you, and you are emanating and you are letting flow through you from the source out through your hands and feet and words and things you do in the world through expression.
There you go. Very good. I love it. Thank you for that last bit. Well, thank you everyone for joining us on the Emmett Fox Radio Show. We appreciate it. Join us also on Sunday for our longer shows that we do. And if you can, I really appreciate it if you could support us at anchor.fm/cosmiceye. Check out my book, If You Can Worry, You Can Meditate, and Chris's book, The Spirit in the Sky. Both of those are available on Amazon. And you can get more information about us at cosmiceye.org. And if you have any topics or anything you'd like to hear about, or things you want to hear us discuss, or questions or what have you, please hit us up at info@cosmiceye.org, and we'd love to hear from you. Have a great couple of days before our next show, and goodbye, and God bless.